Hey everyone, I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio, the show that gives you the facts about relationships and love. Now, I've been helping individuals and couples improve their relationships for the past 30 years, and today I'm here to give you science-based strategies for your relationships and those of your children. Welcome, welcome, everyone. It's Dr. Terry. Thanks so much for joining me today. I appreciate you. I have another great program for you today. Singles, it's all about why you might settle for less than you deserve and how to change that. My guest is Elliot Davis. He is a values-based relationship coach currently living in Seoul, South Korea. He is also a professional consultant and trainer. And during his coaching sessions, he works with clients to become more self-aware and self-actualized on their way to building a personal foundation for lasting love. For more information about Elliot Davis, listeners, please go to ElliotDavisCoaching.com. So welcome to the program, Elliot. Great to have you with us today.
Hi, Dr. Terry. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it is a pleasure. And what a great topic. But Elliot, before we get to the topic, I know that you're a business consultant and trainer. So tell us a little bit more about your background and what motivated you then to become a relationship coach?
Right. So I do have a business background throughout my academic career, so to speak, graduate school, going through the business track. And I thought that I wanted a corporate career. Then I went through relationship hardship after hardship, learning lesson after lesson. I found myself in learning and development in the corporate world. And these two kind of facets of my life collided, because as I was working through some of the challenges that I had encountered in relationships and learning a lot, developing myself, working on myself, and then in learning and development at work, helping people work through their own challenges in a leadership context or a corporate context, just seemed to teach me a lot more about how to increase my effectiveness in advising people around some of the experiences I've had in relationships, help them out, coach them a little bit, ask the right questions so that not only are they learning something, but they are also able to reflect and learn a lot more about themselves as well. So it's not just about me, but really just sharing experiences and making learning and information approachable.
I love that, and very fascinating, Elliot, because I think most people would think that business and coaching, at least relationship coaching, are not similar. But what you're saying is the same kinds of principles, the same kinds of questions, the same kinds of strategies are there. So I love that. Now, you also mentioned, Elliot, that you had a lot of trials and errors in your own relationship life. Can you share with listeners how those personal experiences then affect you as a relationship coach?
Yes, absolutely. So I married young. I married my high school sweetheart and quickly realized that we were probably not the best match, despite dating for a long time pre-marriage. And being that young, being a little bit of a immature male, and not being focused on the right things, actually made it very, very apparent that the challenges that we encountered in our relationship, in our marriage, were irreconcilable, and that was something that we came to together. But still, irreconcilable or not, excuse me.
Oh, yes, still, I understand that word. It's hard.
It's still very difficult to deal with and to get past. And so it took a lot of moping and going through shame and wallowing, regrets. It took a lot of therapy, accountability, prayer. It took a lot of books, lessons, self-reflection to really see where I had been, where I wanted to be, and the delta between those two points and the distance that I would have to cross. And so one of the things that I realized coming out of marriage and divorce was that I had this complex around, I've got to try it again, and I've got to do better this time. I've got to do better. I've got to be perfect. And that sent me on a path of really broken relationships for the next several years in this search for perfection. Whenever I would meet someone that seemed perfect, but I could not finagle or craft a perfect relationship out of it, I would just rather just cut ties or escape or run away, because that's not what I was looking for. I was really looking for an anti-divorce, an anti-argument, an anti-incompatibility. And so that really tormented me for a while. And it took a long period of intentional singleness, really, really reflecting on what I wanted, why I wanted it, and how I had been confused about the ways to get that in the previous life. That helped me arrive to where I am now. It took a lot of education. It took a lot of trial and error. It took a lot of hurt on my part, hurt on my girlfriend's parts and things like that as I had to go through this process. But it was a ride that if I had to go back and do it over again, maybe I would affect fewer people, absolutely. But it's something that I don't believe I could have learned without going through it, unfortunately. And that's what makes me so effective in connecting with and relating to people going through their own relationship struggles.
And thank you so much, Elliot, for sharing those personal experiences and those personal feelings with listeners today. And as you were describing your process, it sounded like you were settling for less right away, that you felt that you needed to rush these relationships. Is that what you're talking about, Elliot, when you say settling for less?
Yes. So I think that's definitely one of the areas. And so when I talk about settling for less or less than you deserve, there's two ways to think about this. One is you actually aren't getting, you know, equal value that you're bringing into the relationship. You are not getting out of a relationship, out of a partner, what you put in or what you deserve. The other way to think about that is you are passing up opportunities or missing opportunities that you have to be with someone that you do deserve, that does complement you, that is a good fit because of your past, because of baggage, because of some misunderstandings that you have with yourself. That is a block to you getting the relationship that you deserve.
I like that. And I just want to repeat that, Elliot, to listeners, that settling for less than you deserve can mean first not getting equal value, you bringing so much more to the relationship and not getting the same from your partner, or second, you're passing up opportunities, wonderful opportunities, because of your baggage, because of your self-sabotaging beliefs or your self-block. So that's a wonderful definition and conceptualization of what we mean or what you mean by settling for less than you deserve. So then what are the reasons, and I think you've discussed a few of them already, for why these amazing singles might settle for less than they deserve, Elliot?
Oh, thank you. And I think there are several. And so I think to start, and I've kind of touched on these, but one is this idea of what your value is or your self-worth. And I think a lot of people, unfortunately, are waiting for others to value them. Mm-hmm. And so they get into relationships or meet a potential partner that slips right in under the radar, values them at something below what they are worth. And so what I mean by valuing them, it's the time and attention, the quality of attention, the intentions that a partner can bring to a relationship is not commensurate with what you are putting in. And
oh, so such a good reason. Oh, that is so good. And I just want to also say, maybe you can give us some examples of, if I'm not worthy, if I don't think I'm good enough, worthy enough, thin enough, pretty enough, smart enough, I'm going to accept less than I deserve, is what you're saying, right?
Exactly. And that comes from a lot of different sources. It comes from media. It comes from couples that you see in your friend group or in your family. It comes from what you tell yourself about how you look in that dress, or how your arms may look, or how your family has valued you, the things that you heard growing up as a kid. And then previous relationships as well can give you a clue as to what you must be worth. If you had a string of dating the wrong people, people that hurt you, people that took advantage of you, then you are training yourself to say, this must be the best that I can do. Mm-hmm. And so without a critical self view, you never really get to establish that for yourself.
I see so many people and clients like that, Elliot. And sometimes you don't even realize that you think that way. And I call them self-sabotaging beliefs or fears.
Yes.
And so you don't get the relationships that you deserve, or every relationship isn't good enough because you fear that somebody's going to tell you that you're not worthy or you're not good enough. And that is so apparent in so many people these days. So what do you do with clients that have those fears, those self-sabotaging beliefs, Elliot?
Yeah, so I think there's a bit of performance theater in there too, when you are actively trying to provide value to kind of boost your score in a relationship. You're trying to give and give to prove your worth. And so one thing I like to tell clients, or ask clients, whether is, what do you think you bring to the relationship, and who tells you? So if you give and give of your time, of your money, acts of service, and here I am referencing Gary Chapman. If you are giving of these things, do you recognize it as a strength of yours? Do you feel like you are trying to over-index in the relationship in terms of outperforming just to compensate for some of this mismatched valuation between yourself and your partner? And so I have them ask these self-awareness questions, right? And I think what that helps them do is say, I do all of these things for my partner that I don't really enjoy doing, and that they've never really told me that they appreciate or like or value, but I'm still doing them because I feel like I need to, or else I'm not pulling my weight or I'm not worth it in the relationship. And so coming to terms with all of those activities that you're doing, what may be providing a return on your efforts, or maybe making your relationship better, without that awareness of those things, then you'll be doing a lot extra. You'll
right.
be doing a lot of unnecessary things.
And not getting in return either equity or equal contributions to you,
right.
or a lack of appreciation. I like that exercise. And I think clients become very self-aware what they're putting into relationships and what they're getting out of a relationship. One of the other things that I do that listeners might be willing to think about as well, Elliot, is just come up with five positive strengths that you bring to any relationship, whether it be a friend, a family member, or a romantic partner. And people, singles, everyone who feels that they're not self-worthy or can't recognize their strengths are those people who have those self-sabotaging beliefs. If you can't come up with five positive things that you bring to a relationship, or you downplay them, or when you say the positive, you immediately discredit it,
yes,
then that's becoming self-aware that you don't see your self-worth, right?
It's asking your question. It's asking yourself the question: would you date you? Would you be in a relationship with yourself?
Would you date you? That's good. I like that question.
Yeah.
And if you can't say yes and why, then you have some of those self-sabotaging beliefs. Good question. Good question. So what's another reason, Elliot, that singles might settle for less than they deserve? You talked about not being comfortable or aware of your own self-worth. So you accept love and attention that you're given, or you're not appreciated. What might be another reason?
I want to touch on two things, and I'm going to try to combine these as best I can. One is this this gratefulness and timing, or this appreciation of a person that causes you to ignore red flags and your deal breakers that you've established. And then the other is you feel like you're running out of time, right? And so I'm gonna try to combine these two ideas. First, whether you have been single for a long time or you're just getting out of a bad relationship, the next thing that comes along that looks good to you, the serendipity is extremely attractive. You're like, oh, wow, this is perfect timing. Oh my gosh, I met them on the 7 o'clock train, and I usually take the 8 o'clock train, but today was different. I knew it was going to be a good day, and I met this person. And so you're grateful for the circumstances, you're grateful for the attention that they're bringing you, and you're grateful that they may address some of the concerns that you've had or developed from previous relationships. So this gratefulness causes some blind spots for some of the key issues, red flags, or things that you said you simply would not tolerate, right? Mm-hmm. And then the other piece is you are more willing to tolerate deficiencies in some of these areas, because if you have been single for a long time or you have had many relationships that have gone sour, you might feel like you're running out of time, or just running out of options. When you get to a certain age, and it is not an old age, you can be 25. If all of your friends are in serious relationships, or you're 28 and everyone's married with a child, then you feel like you're running out of time. This isn't a 50-year-old problem. And so these things make you want to lower your standards a bit, pretend like some of the red flags that you've noticed aren't that big of a deal, and hope for change in the future. And so these two issues really cause people to accept less than they're looking for.
Right. Absolutely. And we see this all the time, that people ignore the red flags because they're grateful for someone being there, or you said the circumstances leading up or discovering this person. And then your notion that you're running out of time or prospects. And that's so very common. So listeners out there, listen to what Elliot is saying. These factors cause you to settle for less than you deserve. Okay, so Elliot, how do you coach those singles who are into these reasons or experiencing these reasons and then settle for less than they deserve?
Yes. So one, it's getting really clear on your red flags and deal breakers. Most of you have them. You've thought through them. You've experienced them in your previous relationships. The challenge is holding yourself accountable to those. And my philosophy is especially with my clients, is date out in the open. A lot of people want to date in secret, get into a serious relationship, escalate things with their partner in secret, quietly, and then reveal it when it becomes something. there's this culture of, oh, I don't want to tell anyone about this until I know what it is. Well, by that time, the patterns are solidified. You have kind of implicitly agreed to some of the red flags that you've noticed. And so without this accountability, without your friends knowing what's going on, or a trusted confidant knowing what's going on, there's no way to hold yourself accountable to your own behavior, or to make sure that you're not allowing behavior from a potential partner that doesn't work for you.
So I like that phrase, by the way, date out in the open. That's a good one, Elliot. Yeah. I like that.
It's huge. It's huge, because I just notice that a lot of people know that something's a little bit off or wrong, and to prevent someone from calling them on it and actually forcing them to make a choice or make a decision to protect their hearts or to cut things off, they'd rather suffer in silence or hope that things change.
I also think, Elliot, that people just don't listen to their gut level feelings, their common sense notions. They don't trust that if they're feeling that something is wrong, it's wrong. Would you
yes,
agree?
I completely agree. Our guts are strong. And in relationships, a lot of us have encountered so many of them, from romantic relationships, friendships, even parental or familial relationships. We know how these things should go. We know how we are to be treated or appreciated. And when we feel like something is off, we immediately pick up on it. Now, typically, we are hoping that things will level out, smooth out, and the partner will change, or we will stop caring about it. Stop caring about it so much, right? Typically, those things don't happen while maintaining your happiness. Because
yes,
either
good
way.
Good points. Very good points. Typically, those do not happen. Now, Elliot, I'm sorry, we are almost out of time. We have two more minutes. Mm-hmm. If there's one message you would like listeners to take away from this program, what might that be?
It would be to be patient with yourself. You have to be patient with yourself as you are evaluating potential partners. And it is an evaluation. Dates are not only seeing if the person likes you, but if you like them, if they are someone that you can build something with. And so this takes time. This isn't just about, you know, a 3-date rule or a 3-month rule before certain things happen. This is about being very mindful of checking into, do they match my core values? Do they have any red flags that I know I shouldn't be tolerating, or that I wasn't able to tolerate in previous relationships? And believing that your time will come. Your time will come. And you will meet someone that checks all of those boxes for you, but you cannot meet that person if you are settling for someone else that does not meet your needs. You won't be available for them.
Oh, very good advice. Be patient, be mindful, and instead of worrying about if you're right for them, think about, become self-aware. Are they right for you? I like that advice. Very good advice, Elliot. Thank you so much for joining us. Wonderful to talk with you.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Dr. Terry.
And again, listeners, if you want more information about Elliot Davis, please go to ElliotDavisCoaching.com. And that's Elliot with 2 L's and 2 T's. As always, thanks for listening. I appreciate you. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio. I'm here to help all your relationships, including the one with yourself, be the best they can be. My personal website is Dr. Terry, thelovedoctor.com, where I provide you with science-based relationship advice that's easy to understand and include in your life. So listeners, until next time, be safe, be healthy, and here's to your healthy, happy relationships.